Welcome back to the How To Fitness Podcast. I'm Kate Lyman.
I'm Michael Ijoa.
And we're here with another Q&A episode. We are talking about myth busting today. So we're going to bust some common myths. These are questions we've received just recently, and I'm excited to get to it.
We're ready to bust some myths. Let's do it. So first question, does exercising on an empty stomach burn more body fat? A classic question that we get quite a lot.
Yes, no, it's not important. This is a very interesting topic because we get so obsessive about this question. Do I fast before I work out or not? Do I fast before I lift or not? Do I fast before I cardio or not? And if we look at the research, there is so much here. I would just like, sometimes I can't believe how many resources we've devoted to this one question when it's so, it's about like complete optimization of body fat loss or exercise, you know, or excelling in exercise or in sport. And it's just like not that relevant for us. So the research has found that yes, more fat oxidization does happen in a fasted state. It's not the most significant ever, but it's there. But there's also energy compensation the rest of the day when we fast from a, exercise from a fasted state. And by that, I mean, you go into a workout, you haven't eaten before. A lot of the research shows that you compensate for being underfed throughout your workout and you eat more during the rest of the day. So energy balance wise, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Even if there's a little more fat oxidization happening during that workout, which doesn't even exactly translate over to being the same thing as body fat loss. So like kind of, but I wouldn't worry about it. I feel like we're going to feel better when we exercise with some fuel in our bodies. We're going to recover better and we're going to feel better the rest of the day and not battle this extreme hunger that can happen when we try to exercise fasted.
So true, isn't it? It kind of comes from this whole like hacking fitness. It's I don't know, people think that, right, I'm going to exercise on an empty stomach when I wake up and trick my body into burning more body fat. Like our bodies are way more efficient than that. Like they're just going to compensate throughout the rest of the day. You're going to use kind of carbohydrate-based energy stores throughout the rest of the day to compensate for overusing your fat stores for energy during your workout. So yeah, it's so marginal. It's not even worth talking about. So don't stress. Eat a good meal and feel good for your workout. That's going to be way more beneficial.
In the show notes, I'll link this one. It's a meta-analysis of a bunch of different studies in this area. I'll link that because it's interesting to look through. And it gives you all the details. If you really want to know everything there is to know about this topic, it's there kind of summarized. But yeah, just don't worry about it. I would say eat. Unless you work out really, really early and you don't want to eat before, then don't. And that's that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, awesome. Next question. Do superfoods really have no nutritional benefit?
No. Oh, wait, as in yes, they do have benefit. Did I answer that right?
I know it's a double negative.
I'm sleep deprived from a small child. I apologize. This is funny. So I call out superfoods a lot on social media just because I think the whole concept of a superfood can become really elitist and just make people feel bad for not being able to afford these foods that are apparently so super that we have to have them for optimal health. And from when I kind of criticize superfoods, people assume that I'm saying that they carry no benefit, and it's not true. Like they usually are quite nutrient dense foods that if you eat them as part of your diet, awesome. They're going to provide you with a lot of benefit, but that doesn't mean that you have to have them by any means. Like you don't have to eat any precise particular food to have a healthy diet. And usually I just find that the foods that get called superfoods, it's usually just an excuse for marketing companies to whack the prices up on them to make it feel like people are kind of working harder to improve their diet rather than actually just like focusing on the basics that are going to provide you with a healthy diet. Don't overthink it. Superfoods are massively overrated, but they do have benefit. Awesome. Next question. So do we need to stay in the fat burning heart rate zone if I'm trying to lose weight?
No. again, with the biohacks, right? Like, we want to overcomplicate to the most extreme order. And this is one of those areas where can we find research about heart rate zones and different levels of fat oxidization and such? Yes. Is it the most relevant to you, person who's asking this question, to us, people who are doing exercise and trying to get fitter? No.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not just as an excuse to use our calorie deficit klaxon here, Kate. but oh wait, I can't stop it. Oh
totally
no.
Don't lie.
Yeah, that was just to use the klaxon. Like, like as boring as it sounds, constantly using that term, like, that's pretty much what it comes down to. Our bodies will counteract whatever you do throughout the rest of the day. Fat burning comes down to creating a calorie deficit and sustaining it. You don't have to stay in any ridiculous fat burning heart rate zone. It really annoys me because it's still on so many gym posters. Like, the amount of times you'll be in a gym and there'll be like a poster of like, put your heart rate in this amount and you'll magically burn more fat. So it's no surprise that this question keeps on being asked, because kind of mainstream fitness industry is telling us it's still a thing, but it's not. Do not worry about it.
Right. I think there's a lot more benefit for paying any attention whatsoever to zone training for your fitness. Mm. But when you're thinking about it as a catalyst for fat loss, like, no. Let's simplify things for ourselves there.
Yep.
Next question. Are BCAAs and creatine worth the cost?
No and yes. So let's start with creatine. Creatine is amazing. Like, if you do some form of strength training, consider taking creatine, because it's probably going to help you with your progress. It's also quite cost effective as well. There was a shortage a year or so ago. I think that's kind of normalized now. I hope I'm right. But creatine is one of the best kind of ergonomic, ergogenic even, one of the best ergogenic aids. and it kind of helps boost sporting performance. In short, creatine helps us replenish energy stores faster whilst we're working out. And that means that you'll be able to get out an extra rep or two in your workout. And even if that doesn't sound very much on a workout day-to-day basis, over weeks, months, years, that's a hell of a lot of volume. So creatine is absolutely worth the cost. Doesn't matter when you take it, 3 to 5 grams a day, anytime throughout the day, just keep taking it consistently. And it's one of the best things that you can buy. I'll let you answer the BCAA topic, Kate.
Yeah. And as far as creatine goes, I wouldn't worry about creatine loading, creatine mm-hmm. deload, just creatine monohydrate, 3 to 5 grams a day. Put it in your water, put it in your juice, whatever you want. Yes, worth it if you're going to invest in one supplement. I think most people in this fitness space who follow more evidence-based practices, that's what they're going to say. Now, so BCAAs, branch chain amino acids, are amino acids, and they're essential amino acids, so ones that we need, but together they don't create a complete protein. So this isn't, we don't need to go about ensuring that every protein we eat is complete or incomplete or worrying about that much. But this just goes to show that we can get more benefit from amino acids in a complete protein source from the food we eat. And most protein sources we eat, meat, dairy, et cetera, are complete proteins. And even plant-based proteins have some complete proteins when you combine, say, corn and beans together. So it's just not necessary. I will say, like, for a while, I did take BCAAs because there was this
so
really...
I did as well.
But listen, there was this really delicious one. It was cotton candy flavored. And I'm like a sucker. If there's something that you're like, that sounds disgusting because it's so sweet, that I probably love it. And I love cotton candy. And so I did drink it and I was like, this is just so good. How could I not? But it wasn't like, let me maximize my workout or optimize my workout here, right? Like, I don't think there's we don't have evidence that shows that there's a negative effect. I have a doorbell.
Did you not know you had a doorbell?
No.
This is going into a clip.
So there's no negative effect of BCAAs. They're just generally expensive and not worth it.
Yeah, do you know what? So I this is one of those times where I'm going to say something and I don't know whether it's true and I need to do the research on it. So I will bring this up in a future episode. So when I did my performance nutrition diploma, our lecturer actually said that there could potentially be a downside of taking branch chain amino acids as a supplement. But I'm yet to see any research, but this is his kind of like thought process from knowing the biochemistry about it. So a lot of the amino acids that we consume share amino acid pathways into the cells. So the argument is maybe if you're overloading the amino acid channels with branched chain amino acid, an incomplete protein source, it could cause a backup, and therefore kind of a complete protein source wouldn't be being consumed or absorbed efficiently, which is a really cool concept. Don't know if it's true, but I'm the same. Like, I used to take them because I thought that they were a way of preventing or limiting muscle breakdown from strength training. This was kind of the thought process a few years ago, until the research proved they were useless. But now there really isn't any reason to take them. They're just super inefficient. An incomplete protein source. There's only 3 of the 9 essential amino acids. Like, find a protein source that has all 9 of those amino acids, because that's what we need for muscles to kind of recover, for muscle protein synthesis to happen. And that comes from like whey protein, soy protein, a complementary protein source, as Kate mentioned as well. You're so much better off spending your money on that, because it's going to get you so much better results.
Okay, last question. Do I get the same benefit of a workout whether I'm sore or not?
Yeah, this is quite a quick one to answer. So muscle soreness is a really poor barometer of whether a workout is beneficial or not, or if you're making progress. Usually all muscle soreness is a sign that you have done something new or challenged your muscles in a kind of a significantly increased way compared to what they're used to. So when you first start strength training, you'll find that muscle soreness will be quite high. But the longer you are strength training, the less that really happens. Like, I rarely now, unless I change up my routine completely, get significant muscle soreness from strength training. I kind of miss it in a way. I quite like the feeling of a little bit of soreness. But don't use how sore your muscles are of a way of kind of checking whether things are working and you're making progress, because it's just not true, unfortunately.
All right, that's some good myth busting. I like those questions.
I like it. Myth busting is always my favorite thing to do on social media. So I knew we were going to enjoy this one. It was good.
And we only touched on like a few little things. There's like so much. There's so much more. It's exciting to me.
There will be more, Kate. Never fear.
What I need is individuals who are on TikTok, because I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know what's going on over there, to throw those myths and misconceptions this way, so we can talk about those, because I'm just out of the loop.
You know, like on sports channels where they're like, and over to Sandra, who is over in TikTok, and she's going to give us the updates, and then she could just like feed them to us. That's what we need.
That's exactly what we need. So looking for Sandra from TikTok. In the meantime, if you have any questions that you'd love for us to answer, we've got more Q&A episodes coming up in the future weeks. You can get in touch with us on our social media platforms. For me, that's Instagram at KL Nutrition.
And me on Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter, and that's at Michael Ujoa PT.
All right, see you next week.